Today is the second Sunday after Easter. It's also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. It's also the feast of St. Pius V. Tomorrow night there will be the annual basketball games with the schoolboys from St. Pius and the fathers and the seminary and they're playing against the seminary and the priests. And that will happen tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at Candlewood Middle School Gymnasium in Dix Hills. Refreshments and team accessories will be sold. This will benefit the junior-senior class. And also tomorrow at school, Mass will begin at 10:30 a.m., and it will be a solemn high Mass. The next conference on modernism by Bishop Sante will be held this Thursday, May 9th, at 7:30 p.m. at the school. And First Holy Communion ceremony will take place at the school this Saturday, May 11th, at 10 a.m., and we ask that all the kindergarten parents assist with this event. May crowning is next Sunday, and it will take place between the first and second Masses. The crowning will begin at 8:15, followed by the devotional prayers to Our Lady, and then the second Mass, which will be a low Mass. And the summer camp will be held from July 18th to the 28th for the boys. And for the girls, it will be between July 29th and August 4th. Flyers are available in the vestibule. And the deadline to register is July 1st. And I would like to welcome anyone who may be here at St. Pius V Chapel for the first time. And all are always most welcome to attend our Masses, but in order to receive Holy Communion, one must believe and profess all the teachings of the Catholic faith. One must be in a state of sanctifying grace. One must attend the traditional Latin Mass exclusively, and one must be fasting from food and alcohol for 3 hours and liquids for 1 hour, except water. And the rest of the rules and requirements for the reception of Holy Communion are printed on the back of the bulletin and are posted in the vestibule of the chapel. So if you are new to this chapel or new to attending the traditional Mass, please make sure to understand these requirements for receiving Holy Communion before you approach the communion rail. In the charity of your prayers, please remember to pray for the repose of the soul of Mrs. Marshall. She was a chapel member in Pennsylvania, but she was the grandmother of Sister Mary Fatima, one of the sisters here who teaches at the school. And she was a longtime parishioner and a great benefactor. So if you please now join me in praying for the repose of her soul.
In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace. May her soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
And finally, there's just one more announcement. The men's retreat will take place in Round Top from May 31st to June 2nd. And I did want to mention that the ladies' retreat is full, and there's, a waiting list, but the list for the men is somewhat short, so we need more men to make the retreat. And I wanted to give you a few words of encouragement on making a retreat and registering for the retreat, because it is a time of great graces and blessings during a retreat, especially if you have never made a retreat before, or it's been a few years since your last one. And I know that our fathers and the men here in the chapel, that we're always very busy, and we have work to do, and it is difficult to get away for a few days. But the busyness of your schedule is all the more reason to set some time aside for retreat. See, making a retreat can help you in many ways, but most importantly, a retreat gives you the opportunity to focus in on the one thing that matters, your salvation of your soul. So by taking this brief retirement from worldly affairs and businesses and cares, you'll be able to return to your duties with a renewed energy. And you can be sure that our Lord will reward you richly for setting time aside for this. In fact, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, whoever dies within a year after making a good retreat, he says, he will be sure to go to heaven. And that's from the doctor of the church. So I would just like to leave you with something to think about. Let's just say if you were told that if you set aside a couple of days that you would gain great financial wealth, wouldn't you do so? So I'm telling you, if you set aside a couple of days of retreat, you will gain great spiritual benefit, because nothing matters more than saving your soul. The epistle for the second Sunday after Easter is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we being dead to sins should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling flieth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Let us go, therefore, with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable aid. Words taken from the introit of the Mass for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today, as I mentioned, is the feast of Pope St. Pius V. And since St. Pius V is the special patron of this chapel, as well as of the priests, I would like to speak to you this morning about this great saint, and also in particular his great devotion to the Mother of God. Pope St. Pius V was one of the many saints raised up by God in the 16th century to defend the Church against the assaults of Protestantism as well as the assaults from the Turks. It was Cardinal Michael Ghislieri who was elected Pope on January 7, 1566. He was the fifth Pope to take the name Pius. His pontificate lasted for only 6 years. But over those 6 short years of his papacy, St. Pius V did many, many great things. It is really amazing in those few short years how much he truly accomplished. He reformed the morals of the city of Rome. St. Pius V fought back the Protestant reformers by promoting and carrying out the decrees of the Council of Trent, which had just come to an end 3 years before he was elected Pope. And in particular, he took on the difficult task of revising the Roman Missal, which had long been the subject of abuse and innovation. But along with the great things he did for the Church and her worship, he also did something for Europe and even Western civilization itself. He rallied troops among the Europeans to fight back the Turks and prevented the spread of Islam into Europe. And he did this through the victory over Ali Pasha at Lepanto Bay in 1571. But of course, this was not without difficulty. Almost all the Catholic monarchs of Europe, they were too distracted from the pleadings of the Pope. They were too busy bickering amongst each other about land and power. And so it was out of the entire continent of Europe, St. Pius V succeeded in uniting only Spain and Venice. Sailors and soldiers from these two places were assembled to search out and attack the great fleet of the Turks. Pius V sent orders to Don Juan of Austria to attack the Turks and promised him that God would give him victory. And so the Catholic fleet set out on September 15th, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And as Pope St. Pius V gave orders to the Catholic crusaders, he also requested prayers from the Catholic world. He specifically ordered that the rosary to be continually recited by the different confraternities across Europe. And so it was on October 7th, that fateful moment when the Catholic fleet of only 208 ships that met the Turks with their 335 ships in Lepanto Bay. And as the fighting began, Catholic soldiers could be heard shouting their battle cry, "Long live Mary!" The brutal onslaught lasted about 5 hours. But at the very moment when victory crowned the arms of Don Juan at Lepanto, Pope St. Pius V received a divine light, knowing that the event had taken place and it was victorious. One account says that suddenly breaking off a council and meeting with the cardinals, St. Pius V said to the cardinals, "This is not the time to talk of business anymore. Let us go and return thanks to God. Our arms have just been blessed with victory." And in gratitude for this signal victory, St. Pius V decreed that throughout the Christian world, the Feast of Our Lady of Victory should be celebrated every year in October. And to the Litany of the Blessed Virgin, he added the invocation, "Mary, help of Christians, pray for us." And just a few years later, his successor, Pope Gregory XIII, changed the title of this feast from Our Lady of Victory to Our Lady of the Rosary. Now, my dear friends, Pope St. Pius V realized that the great threat of Islam was to the Catholics and even to civilization, and he did something about it. And even though the Catholic forces he rallied were relatively small, he still had confidence of victory because he placed everything into the powerful hands of the Mother of God. My dear friends, we too must realize that we have a great threat, the great threat of the enemies of our souls. The pleasures of this world, the temptations of the flesh, and even Satan himself plague us each and every day in this world. They are out for one thing. They want to destroy our souls. And thus we cannot be lax in our battle against them. We cannot be like those selfish Catholic monarchs who cared nothing about the Turkish threat and who didn't realize the true gravity of the situation. We must do what St. Pius V did. We must fight. And although that Catholic fleet was weakly formed and outnumbered by the Turks, they relied on one thing. They relied on the powerful Mother of God. She who is the mother of a king. She is the mother of the King of Kings. And thus Mary is most powerful because her Son is the Son of God. And truly she is a gift to us. She is a gift from our divine Savior himself because he gave her to us on Mount Calvary. Just as the Crusaders conquered through the powerful intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary, let us do the same. Go to our Blessed Lady when temptations threaten you. Protect yourselves and your families from the evils of this world by avoiding all occasions of sin, by strengthening your souls with the sacraments, and by the devout recitation of the family rosary. We cannot win this spiritual battle by ourselves. We are weak. We need help. We need help like the Catholic Crusaders at Lepanto. And so let us go to the one who is most powerful, who is most influential with Almighty God. Let us go to his mother. You know, the Church dedicates the entire month of May to our Blessed Lady. Let us be mindful of this and strive earnestly to pray the Rosary every day this month and throughout the year. Because if we invoke the Blessed Mother, and if we are faithful to her rosary every day, she will truly vanquish all of our enemies. She will crush all who would threaten our souls. And with prayer, let us imitate that confidence of our great patron, Pope St. Pius V, who placed all his trust in the Mother of God and experienced her powerful intercession. St. Louis de Montfort says that according to the saints, never has it been known since the world began that anyone had recourse to our Blessed Lady with trust and perseverance and was rejected. Her power is so great, St. Louis says, that her prayers are never refused. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.